how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
To infinity and beyond.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they?
It's classified.
You talking to me?
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
I can't lie!
Expecto Patronum!
Entertainment X.
You never know what you're gonna get.
For this episode, I chat with Andrew Gorin. He's the creator of Harmony Helper, a new app that literally does what it says. It helps someone learn harmonies. He breaks this whole thing down, the journey to creating this app, what he's done, the steps he's taken to grow the app and develop it. It's a really, really great conversation about persistence and just going for it. And this is a wonderful, we have some wonderful sidetracks talking about his personal hobbies. And it's really, really a wonderful conversation. So I hope you enjoy this episode and keep on keeping on. We're back. I'm Clayton Howe. And today with me on the phone is Andrew Gorin. Andrew, thank you for chatting with me today.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So, of course. So, you come to me by way of Sarah Ruth Ellis. Gotta always give a shout out for those connectors. I want to talk about this app that you've created and are continuing to create. And where did you and Sarah meet?
Sarah and I connected at ACDA in Kansas City. ACDA is the American Choral Directors Association. She was working at the scholarship auditions booth, and we had a Harmony Helper booth, and we were walking the floor, and we each thought we were doing something really cool and connected that way, and it was really awesome.
That's so cool. So how did this all begin for you, entertainment as a whole? What were your theater dreams a few years ago?
Yeah. So, ever since I was really, really little, I always enjoyed going to, the little kids shows, either at the Walnut in Philadelphia or, even the little kids touring shows like Sesame Street Live. I always really connected to that, and specifically musicals. And I started to get involved in the elementary school plays. My first show in elementary school was the Jungle Book Kids, and I was Baloo. And I really enjoyed that. But when I was in elementary school, the first Broadway show that really resonated with me, that I saw and really connected with, was Mary Poppins. And it was at that moment that I wanted to be involved in the entertainment field. Something about the way that theater and entertainment makes people feel and affects people. I think it has to do with storytelling, telling a story, and making an impact on people's lives. And seeing how big of an impact Mary Poppins made on me, that was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to have an impact on people's lives and propel them forward and tell stories.
Why do you think Mary Poppins was it for you?
I think it was two things. I think that I was really, when I was younger, I didn't quite know. I knew I enjoyed it. I didn't know why. I liked the music. It was fun. But I also grew up on watching Mary Poppins, and then seeing that story come to life on the stage really struck a chord with me. The other thing that I think did it was Mary Poppins had two child performers in it as well. And seeing child performers very close in age to me and seeing them do that, it made me realize, it really hit me that, oh, this is something that I can do and I can be a part of. And also just the story of Mary Poppins. And, I think of one of the songs, Anything Can Happen If You Let It. I think just that whole story and message really resonated with me and sort of all aligned at the right point and in the right spot.
Wow. So this was an interest for you to perform?
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of my background comes in performing in the Philadelphia, New York area. It was really something that I was doing. Like I said, I started in elementary school in the elementary school show, and really kind of pushed it forward and started to train and participate in school as well as outside of school, and even do some professional things as well.
Okay. All right. That's actually really interesting. I'm curious how it went from performing to like present day. I don't know if that's a long story for you to tell. I'm interested.
Yeah. So it actually links up really, really nicely because it's very closely related. And something I want to say, I guess, before I get into this is I am also a tech nerd and a big fan of technology, and I've always had an interest in that as well. I'm a big fan of Disney theme parks and the technology behind them. Another kind of ambition when I was younger was being an Imagineer. That was another one. So what I'm doing now really combines those two, technology and theater passions, and how it really all began. When I was 13 years old, I booked my first professional show at the Walnut Street Theater in Philadelphia, and it was A Christmas Carol. And I got into the first day of rehearsal. I open up the script, and I see, oh, wow, I have an opening solo in the show, and then the second line of music, someone joins me in harmony. And that was super exciting to me. And so in the rehearsal process, I learned the harmony. I was fine because the way we were blocked on stage, I was stage right, and the person I was singing in harmony with was all the way on stage left. In the rehearsal room, we weren't mic'd, and the piano was right near me. I could never hear the other person singing. And then when I was practicing on my own at home, I was fine with my vocal part. I could sing, I can match pitch. But then when we got to our final dress rehearsal in tech of A Christmas Carol, they finally added microphones and speakers blaring up at us. I walk out on stage, I open my mouth, and for the first time I could actually hear the other person singing and trying to harmonize with me. And it all completely fell apart. It was like I had forgotten how to sing, which was extremely devastating to me. And I think it would be devastating for anyone at any age to walk out on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Open their... It's like the singer's nightmare. There's the actor's nightmare. The singer's nightmare is the singer's nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was coming true. And so, you know, that was really my first experience with harmony. You know, I had experienced it a little bit in the school chorus, but I was, you know, I was still singing soprano at that point. My voice hasn't changed. I could sing the melody and be fine. And, you know, so after that dress rehearsal, I went up to the rehearsal room with the music director and the director. And they tried to teach me the harmony and fix it. And I just wasn't getting it. And they didn't understand why I couldn't get it. They said it was sort of a thing you can't teach. It's something you either have or you don't. And that was really, really frustrating to me. And I didn't know how to get better. I didn't know how to solve the problem. And actually for that show, they ended up doubling my vocal part because I needed someone in my ear singing my vocal part to help me. Mm-hmm. So that's really where the problem came about. And, you know, obviously this all didn't happen overnight, but I started to first look for a solution out there, something that I could learn on my own, something quick. Having just gotten an iPhone, I naturally looked to the App Store and other online technology solutions, and there really was not anything out there. And I started to play around with voice memos and do something where I would record the other vocal part, play that in my ear, and begin to harmonize along with it. And that's really how the concept and basis for Harmony Helper came about, and I started sketching out my ideas. So that's really where the morph came from.
How old were you at that point?
Oh, okay. What I was, you know, the initial stuff playing around in voice memos was when I was 13. And I would say from age 13 to 15, I continued to constantly revisit this idea, especially as I continued to progress through my professional career and training career and was constantly running into these roadblocks of harmony. And it was frustrating to me. And I also met a lot of other people out there who had the similar issue, you know, either more severe or not as severe. But I think everyone has sort of run into the struggle of harmony of, you know, being an alto or being a tenor or being a bass or even a soprano and not knowing where to go and feeling lost. So that was really between the ages of 13 and 15. I was still in the discovery phase, sketching things out, and trying to figure it all out. So yeah, that's how old I was then.
Wow. Okay. So you have this interest in, you know, like helping, I guess, so that's where the need came from to create this, something to help people learn these harmonies. And was your next thought, like, what was your next thought after realizing that need?
Well, my next thought was, so like I said, I was messing around with voice memos. I was sketching out some ideas for an app. I thought, okay, I want people to be able to do this anytime, anywhere in the palm of their hands. And the best solution possible sounds like a mobile app. So that's really what was in my head. And what I actually ended up doing was I knew my brother, his college roommate, was good at technology, whatever that meant to like 14, 15-year-old Andrew. So I was like, hey, can you help me? And actually that guy linked me up with someone who gave me some advice and helped me set up a WordPress website about Harmony Helper, what I wanted it to be, so we could start collecting feedback and getting information from other people and really validating the idea. So that was really the next step. And that person, when I was 15, is still a part of the company and is now our product manager. So after really bringing her on board, it still took a lot of time, but we really progressed through the startup phases together of, okay, WordPress website launch, getting feedback. And then we waited for a while to get feedback. After meeting Rob and working with Rob, which we can certainly talk a bit about, we then decided, okay, let's build a proof of concept. And we started to go on and pull our connections together and start to meet and talk to people and really build out the proof of concept. So that was sort of the next step there.
Now, how easy, or should I say how difficult is it to get an app up and running?
It is not easy at all. I mean,
okay.
You know, there's a lot that goes into it. Originally I thought, hey, I'm sketching it out. Why can't what I just want the buttons to do just work inside the app? But I mean, there is a lot, especially when you're building a new technology and a new platform, you're starting from scratch and you have to get all the different complex technologies and systems to work and communicate with each other. We built a platform and new technology from the ground up. We started with a blank canvas and really built it and made everything kind of function together. It's definitely a very tricky and difficult thing. And, it's definitely really exciting though, to bring something that's never been done before to market.
Oh my God. Yeah. Now, did you guys work with an app developer, or this is something you guys like made from scratch, essentially?
So we've built a team of developers to make this thing come to life. It's not just me, and it's not just Lindsay. We've built a team of people who are skilled in their own areas of expertise and come from varying backgrounds, whether they're a PhD in like signal processing, or a really great front end developer, really great back end developer, whether they're a Tony nominated Broadway star. We really built a team and surrounded ourselves with really great, diverse, but like minded people to learn, collaborate, and grow from each other.
So this is really interesting to me, because all of this in a way sounds very foreign. Front end, back end, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And I'm curious, if you're willing, how did you go about cultivating this group of people? Were there particular conversations you had with people? Who did you ask? How did it happen?
So it really first came about after I started working with Lindsay. I knew by chance, she didn't just do WordPress websites, but she also was a product manager, and she had worked on, previous apps and previous technology companies. So I was able to meet a few people through Lindsay to really get our proof of concept going.
Uh-huh.
And then once, once the proof of concept was going, we brought on a business advisor who I met through my dad, actually, because my dad is an entrepreneur and has built and scaled his own business. And this business advisor has worked, been a part of multiple technology companies. So we met more people and brought on a CTO and built the development team out further. And it's really been through a series of connections and communicating and collaborating and a lot of, you know, by chance scenarios as well, which is always funny how life works out that way, how you just meet the right person and things start to happen. You know, if I hadn't met Sarah at ACBA, I probably wouldn't be here right now talking to you.
Isn't that funny? Chance encounters?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it, though. I think it's awesome.
It really is, because I don't think any of it is a mistake, you know, and it,
yeah,
in a way you could call a lot of it, you know, who you meet or when you meet them, luck, you know, it requires luck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you have this team and you guys are building this app. What are some of the challenges you faced / were you discouraged, moments of discouragement, how you overcame them?
It's definitely, I think, one of the big things that you already hit on is the amount of time this stuff takes. You know, you expect it to really all come together overnight, and it takes time, really, really a lot of time. And it's something that, you know, we've learned from each other. We've learned how to overcome specific hurdles and developmental challenges. We've learned to, as a team, learned how to look at problems and situations and hurdles in the code and the development and how to overcome them and who to talk to and who to bring on. So, you know, I can't think of a very specific example, but I would say, you know, with development and building anything, even if it's, whether it's a code in an app or a physical piece of hardware or even a building, you're always going to run into unexpected things. You're going to find out once you start breaking ground that maybe the ground is a bit more sloped than you anticipated or something. And it's, and you know, I think that, you know, as a team, we celebrate our successes together and we also learn from mistakes together. And I think that's definitely been a big thing over the past few years of working on this, of learning and adjusting and learning from mistakes and really slowly building out our platform. And also the other big thing that we've learned and we've been doing, which has been really, really great and important to us, is including the community that we're building this for. So, you know, we've been at BroadwayCon for the past 3 years. We introduced the idea at BroadwayCon. We got feedback from the BroadwayCon community. We're getting feedback from the Coral community. And that's also another big thing that's been instrumental in building this app and has really helped propel this along even through any hurdles or challenges that we face.
Okay. So before we continue on, real quick for the listeners, what exactly is Harmony Helper and how does it work?
Yeah, so Harmony Helper is a 24/7 digital rehearsal room in your back pocket. With Harmony Helper, you'll be able to take any piece of sheet music, snap a photo of it, or upload a PDF of it into the app, which then converts it into this easy-to-read digital format on the phone. You're able to go in and map out your specific vocal part. So, you know, you have full control over what exactly your music director assigns to you. And that's what you're learning and that's what you're practicing. And then you're able to open it up in what we call our digital rehearsal room. It converts your notes to a digital piano roll. So you don't need to be an expert in reading sheet music to use it. You're able to see your notes, your little note bubbles on the screen in relation to the other notes. You can hear the different vocal parts. So we have flexible volume control. So you can first just focus on your own vocal part and then slowly phase in the others as you get more comfortable. We've actually created a 5-step approach to learning and holding harmonies. And then when you're feeling really confident, you can record yourself, which then gives real-time feedback on the screen on whether you're above pitch, under pitch, or on pitch, as well as then you can listen back to your voice with the other vocal parts to hear how well you blend. So it's really taking that rehearsal experience and putting it on your phone so you can do it in the comfort of your own home, so then you can walk into your next rehearsal feeling confident and prepared. And then also the music director can spend time really working on the fine tunings of a musical piece rather than spending rehearsal plunking out vocal parts all day.
Yeah, that's revolutionary, because I've worked on productions where the poor music director plays through everyone's parts and sends it out, you know, before rehearsal begins, so everyone can
Absolutely.
Learn their parts. And that's just time consuming.
And we've built this not only for the singer, but also for the music director. We have group options and a whole online management portal where a music director can go and upload all the music and then disperse it out to their cast members.
Wow. So how did you guys get, or how did it come about with Rob McClure?
Yeah. So this is once again one of those, you know, by chance stories. I was really rooted in the Philadelphia theater community, and a really great theater in Philadelphia is the Arden Theater. And they have a fantastic program for teenagers, and it's all free. And one of the things that they do is they offer free master classes with, you know, different influential people. And one of them was Rob McClure. And, I decided, everyone was telling me I need to attend this master class with Rob McClure. He's an amazing guy. You need to go. So I go. I'm a part of the class. It's fantastic. And it was a 2-day master class. So I go the first day. It's awesome. And I let him know afterwards, hey, I'm not sure if I can make the class tomorrow because I have a class at the Walnut and I have to go to that. And he said, that's all right, completely acceptable. I understand. So the next day I go to the class at the Walnut Street Theater, and it's during the week. And I show up, and because it was like a really busy school week, none of the other kids showed up. So it was just the teacher and I, and he said, you're going to learn a lot more from Rob McClure this one day than you're going to learn here. So he actually walked me through Philadelphia to the Arden Theater. I made it to Rob's class, and I was there for that second day, which was awesome. And yeah. But so I go the second day. Rob was shocked to see me. And he was really an inspiring guy, and we're very much like-minded as well. And after the class, I walk up to him and I said, hey, do you give private lessons? I would love to learn more from you. And he said, I do give private lessons, but I'm really not giving them right now. I'm about to start rehearsals for Honeymoon in Vegas, and I really don't have any time, but shoot me an email. Maybe we can work something out. So I walk out of the classroom. I sit down in the car, literally 2 seconds after him telling me this, and I shoot him an email right away. And he saw it and responded instantly and said, okay, I can tell you're serious. Let's start working together. And we started to work together. He started to teach and mentor me. And, we're coming up on 5 years. We just had our 5-year anniversary of the whole Arden event. And through that time of him teaching me and mentoring me, he obviously learned about Harmony Helper. And he also said that, he's had challenges with harmonizing and knows many people who have had challenges with harmonizing. And that was really a pivotal moment of realizing how big of an issue this was. And that's when, he came on board on the team and has become an artistic advisor for us, looking at our app, our user flow, what we're trying to do, and making sure it resonates with the theater community and the Broadway community.
That's fascinating. That's a great story.
Yeah. It's one of those by chance, just crazy whirlwinds of, if I didn't go that second day, this probably wouldn't have happened.
Literally, it wouldn't have. So what are your next steps then, with this app? You have it, it's fully created. Are you guys still, adjusting as you get more feedback? What are your next steps?
Yeah. So where we are right now and what the next steps are. So we came to ACDA with a final demo of the app with a few pre-recorded songs in it. And you could practice those songs in the digital rehearsal room. We were showing that off. And then we got a lot of amazing feedback from the choral market. And that was a market that we really started to learn about a little later. This started in the musical theater community. And we met as a team and we decided, okay, before we do a full product launch, let's incorporate this feedback that we've gotten from the choral community and let's go into a beta that incorporates all of the different singers, all of the different people we want to reach. And although there's music is music and harmony is harmony, the needs of the people throughout, the singers throughout the different markets are a bit different. So we want to go into a beta with these new features, learn from them, and then once we feel ready from the feedback we've incorporated from the beta, that's when we'll go through with the full public launch.
Okay. Very interesting. So then you guys are, how are you getting this word out continuously to more people who need it?
We are, we've met, you know, a lot of people and have networked a lot through this Broadway community, really through BroadwayCon, and we're starting to do this as well through ACDA. We're going to these really large, you know, going into these really large communities and conferences of, you know, hitting the theater communities through BroadwayCon, hitting the choral market through the American Choral Directors Association, and really penetrating the communities that way and constantly asking for feedback, as well as, you know, we're active and starting to have a voice on social media as well.
That seems to be key these days, doesn't it?
Very important.
What, how, okay, so I know there's a lot of how questions here. How did BroadwayCon come about for you guys? What were the leading parts with this and getting in with the choral community? How did you guys, I don't know, break the bubble, hop in there?
Yeah, so BroadwayCon happened. We got it. So we've been going to BroadwayCon for 3 years, and BroadwayCon has been around for 4 years. So we were a part of the second BroadwayCon. I'm still very much involved in the theater community and rooted in the theater community. So I knew about BroadwayCon after its first year, after seeing things on Playbill.com and Broadway World and all that stuff. And I realized, oh, wow, this is the ultimate, it's Comic-Con for Broadway. It is the ultimate musical theater gathering place. And it was at that point I realized I needed to be there. And this is the perfect community and area to really unveil this idea to and start to get feedback. So literally our first year at BroadwayCon, we came with a vision, an idea, some screenshots and mock-ups. Our second idea, we came with a proof of concept. And our third year, we came with really our final demo of the app. It really built up from the previous 3 years, and we were constantly getting feedback and asking the community, and our presence also grew every year as well. And it's been an amazing time, and we really have found our spot in this BroadwayCon community. And then we learned about ACDA and this choral market through some members on our team who have been involved in the choral world, and they said, we have to go to ACDA. And I learned about this whole new group of people there as well. And it was our first year at ACDA, and it happens every 2 years, but it was really a success and an amazing learning experience as well. And that is a very, very large community. And you saw various people represented there, from acapella singers to church choirs to barbershop quartets. I mean, it was a massive conference, and it is the choral community is a massive community and an amazing community.
It's huge. It's gigantic.
Yeah. We learned that over 20 million Americans sing in a chorus weekly. I mean, it's that big.
I didn't know that. Wow.
It's a very, very large, very large group of people. A fantastic group of people, and that is all harmony.
Yeah, it is. So with BroadwayCon, was that another person in your team that had a connection there, or did you just like you cold called the creators, or just
so the way that came about? I said, Rob, you were a speaker and a presenter at the first BroadwayCon. What do we do? And he messaged Anthony Rapp, actually.
Oh, no.
And then Anthony Rapp said, oh, here's who you have to talk to. And so we got connected that way. This past year is our first time we became sponsors of BroadwayCon, which was really awesome, and it was a blast.
Oh, my goodness. Andrew, this is incredible. I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't know that I've addressed it since we've started talking a half hour ago, that you're 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I mean, you know, I feel the need to bring that up because it's, you know, you're accomplishing so much at what I think many would consider a young age, although these things can be accomplished at any age. So I don't know that do you focus on it? Like, do you find great pride in how much you've done at 19? Or is that not something you even, you know, it's not really a thought. It's just doing.
Well, you know, it really is just doing. I just got to keep pushing forward every day and learning and growing. And as you said, I think that you can do this at any age. You know, it's just about having the motivation and learning and communicating and building a team. You know, I think age is just a number, although I have used it to my advantage of being able to, you know, I mean, but really being able to, when you look at this very large market and group of people who sing, you know, young and old, it's helped me to be able to connect to the younger group of audiences and the younger group of singers and be connected to the technology. But also I'm at a great age and on a really great, you know, border of also being an adult and learning from the older crowd as well. So it is something that, although it's not something I think about, it's something that I can certainly use to my advantage.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause you know, someone has like a preconceived notion of who a 19-year-old would be in their mind, you know, and that can
and
be
it
a great
also, strength. It also presents its challenges as well of people who think age does matter, but
yeah,
you know, it's something you can't pay attention to and you just gotta keep pushing forward.
That's so true. So I'm curious what, you know, you mentioned your dad is an entrepreneur and he's created, what lessons have you learned from him about entrepreneurship or standout conversations?
I mean, he truly is an inspiration and a role model for me. I've learned, I think I've learned a lot of my intuition from him. Two quotes that come to mind. One is do what you say and say what you do. And that's something that his business that he built, was a very hands-on business and delivering to his clients. And it was a service business. But that's still true to what we're doing at Harmony Helper. We told the community what we're going to do. And that's the number one priority, to be there for our customers, do what we say and say what we do. So I think that's one thing that has been propelling me forward. And another thing that he said as well is expect nothing, be grateful for everything, and you'll never have a bad day in your life. So, you know, that's also something that I start every morning with, and, you know, whatever faces me, you know, I just need to keep pushing forward, be grateful for where I am right now. And truly you will never have a bad day. You know, when the going gets tough, you just have to remember to keep pushing forward and, you know, everything's sort of a gift. So those are two very specific standout things, but there has been a lot of, you know, I'm lucky enough for his office of his company to be right across the street from mine. So I also spend a lot of time in his office and he spends a lot of time over here just learning from each other. And it's a really fantastic, dynamic that we have, and I'm really lucky to have it.
Wow. That's really incredible. Now you brought up a really good point that, you know, when the going gets tough, you keep going. Cause right when, you know, you would feel like, anyone metaphorically, you would feel the need to give up. That's usually when everyone else feels that need to give up.
Yeah.
So if you keep going, success is probably right around the corner.
That's right. That's very true.
You push through that dip. So that's really, wow. Okay. So you answered that. I'm curious, going back to the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned that you're a tech nerd and you find it really interesting. I'm curious, with technology, what do you find so interesting? Also, with Imagineering, you know, for the Walt Disney Company, or having the thought of doing that, had you in your mind designed like a ride or an experience there, or is that something you'd still be interested in doing?
So I guess to answer the first part of the question first is, I think it's something about innovation and pushing forward and being able to adapt and accepting the new tools that are given to us and really learning and changing our ways. There are so many things that so many people and so many things that you find rooted in their old ways, which works. But I think there's something to be said about creativity and innovation that is super, super important. But I also have a fascination as well for some older technology and some mechanical things. One thing that I have a little side hobby and passion for is pinball. I collect and restore pinball machines, and that is all mechanical. There aren't really any screens in that. And so that's also another thing in terms of technology and tinkering and building with things that I think has really satisfied the maker and technology side of me.
Do you, before we go on, do you have like three pinball machines right now that you're working on? Or do you work on one at a time and like resell them, or what is that?
So two parts of that. So I do, you know, I try not to take on too many projects at once.
Yeah.
Sort of one at a time, but also as you own a pinball machine, they do need service and kind of constant fixing and love. There's a saying that, you know, it's not a pinball machine if it isn't broken.
That's pretty true.
So there's that. But also, I haven't really sold any pinball machines. I call myself a pinball hoarder. So I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm about to hit my 10th pinball machine. And some of them being older machines that I fixed up and have restored, but also I have a few of the newer machines because pinball machines are still being made today that I just had to have, because believe it or not, when we talk about innovation, the amount of innovation that has come through pinball is actually incredible. It's insane. And you would never think that something that's so old could still have innovation. But, you know, one of the machines that really got me sucked into pinball is a newer machine that came out in 2014, was a Wizard of Oz themed pinball machine. And that literally has a flying monkey that comes down and grabs the pinball and brings it up to the witch's castle. It's insane.
What? I haven't seen this. Because the last time I saw a pinball machine, I was in a bowling alley. And if I'm not mistaken, it looked very computerized. You know, it looked very LED, very computer.
Yeah. I'm sure you saw it. I think they're still making pinball machines today. And, you know, although you see, you know, computers run them and they may have a screen in the back, when you look at the physical mechanical action of a pinball machine, it still has the flippers. You know, every designer starts with putting the flippers at the bottom, and it's all still, although there's, you know, computers in the background, when it comes down to it, it's still all mechanical. The physical game itself is a mechanical game, which I find joy in. I'm terrible at newer video games. We have a pinball machine here in the office, and it's sort of my, you know, 10-minute break time to walk up to the pinball machine and just escape and bash a ball around.
The stress reliever.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so then Disney Imagineering.
Yeah. So with Disney Imagineering, I've definitely thought of ride concepts and new things to bring to the parks. And, you know, it very much comes back to the storyteller in me and storytelling. When although I do like roller coasters and thrill rides, that's a whole other story. But when it comes to Disney theme parks, Disney prides themselves on storytelling. And I think that is something that has always interested me, combining technology with storytelling. When you're riding a ride, walking through the park, a story is being told. And that is I think one of the major reasons why I wanted to become Imagineer when I was younger. And I, you know, my favorite place to go on vacation is Disneyland in California, because that's the place that started it all. And Walt Disney worked on that. And just the stories being told there, you can really just feel the energy and excitement walking into that park. And that's really what inspired that. And being an Imagineer, you're able to have a hand on creating that story and telling that story and having an impact on people's lives. Well, one, vacation, but also lives.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, yeah, you change lives there. Do you have a favorite experience there?
I mean, it's always extremely hard to pick.
Yeah, I know.
I always have trouble with that. But
it's,
I think,
a hard
one
question.
one of the things that does a fantastic job at storytelling is in California. They have a whole land dedicated to cars. And it is like walking into Radiator Springs and walking into the movie. They created the whole mountain, all the mountains of Radiator Springs and the waterfalls, and riding that ride, it really feels like you're a part of the story. And I think that really shows the capabilities of how immersive it could be. But also, I am a huge fan of the classic Fantasyland dark rides of Peter Pan, or I love Mr. Toad or Alice in Wonderland. And knowing that those rides were created, back in 1955, and the innovation that was happening there and how much of an effect and impact they can have on someone still to this date is also incredible. So, you know, I like the newer rides, but I also make sure to always ride the classics as well, because there's nothing like, I brought a friend with me actually to Disneyland who had never been, and the ride that made them go, wow, believe it or not, was Peter Pan's Flight, which was an opening day attraction. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's
incredible.
You know what's so funny about that ride? Because I'm a sucker for the Carousel of Progress. I don't know why. I just love it.
I was just in Walt Disney World, and I put up a huge fight. I'm like, we got to go ride the Carousel of Progress.
I have to fight,
too. I don't
too.
Care if you all sleep on it for 20 minutes, but I am riding that Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, I know. It's always a fight. You got to convince people it's air conditioned. You're sitting down. You could take a nap.
And talk about progress and innovation. I mean, there it is. Yes, it may need an update to the future scene, but still, when you look at it, that truly speaks to Disney's goal of progress and innovation. And believe it or not, my dad rode that as a very, very little kid at the 1964-65 New York World's Fair.
Yeah, wow. I know, it's so funny. Inside those animatronics, I can't help but think they look like the inside of a pinball machine.
Yes. I mean, I've seen kind of videos and pictures, and it's actually all the same thing of linkages and things that, just like, think about moving a flipper on a pinball machine.
Yeah.
The same idea of how an arm is moved or a finger is moved.
Yeah. Oh, so fascinating. I knew we'd get to Disney. Somehow I always get to Disney in every one of these conversations.
Oh, yeah. I am a huge Disney fan.
Wow. Okay, so as we wrap up here, are there any texts you refer to daily, or favorite books that you've read, or places that you seek information?
So that's a really great question. I do read. We have a kind of a stack of books here in the office that especially have to do with, you know, how to start a startup, agile development that inspire us and we pull from. Although I can't think of a specific example or specific quote. But one thing I will say when we talk about things that we go back to or that inspire us, it actually has to do with TV and CNBC. And there are two shows on CNBC. One is called The Prophet, and it's about a guy named Marcus Lemonis, who's a successful entrepreneur. He goes in and invests in struggling businesses. And then also Shark Tank, which is now 10 years old. And I've practically grown up on Shark Tank. So those are shows that I still watch every single week when a new one comes out. In fact, I have a new Shark Tank to watch tonight. that I'm constant. I feel like I've learned a lot from it, learned a lot of, you know, a lot of skill from as well, because as I'm watching people pitch or be put in situations, I put myself in those shoes as well and think, okay, what would I have done? And I'm able to learn and see what Marcus Lemonis or these experienced entrepreneurs have done. So I've learned a lot from those shows, and it's something that I constantly watch to see what people are doing and what is new, what new innovative things are happening in the world throughout, you know, the past 10 years of Shark Tank. And, you know, one thing that sticks out to me that I've learned from Marcus Lemonis in the process or in the profit is that he goes in to the struggling business, and what he always says is it's about the people, process, and product. So you need to have, and that's something that I've internalized and taken to heart. You need to have a great atmosphere and environment and a great group of people. You need to have a great process that you're constantly revisiting and iterating on, and you need to have a great product. And that's something that I keep with me every single day of sitting down and looking at the people, looking at the process, and looking at the product. So yeah, that's, I know that's a bit more indirect from texts and books, but that's something that immediately jumped out in my head.
That's still a great, I mean, that's still a great answer. In that same vein, is there a common piece of incorrect advice that you're hearing in your field?
That's an interesting question. I mean, you know, it's hard. I think there is, I can't think of one specific thing, but I think one thing for sure is I think people are too quick to jump to conclusions and be naysayers and say that doesn't work or that market is too small. There's a lot of very closed-minded people, and it's important to adapt, be nimble, and push through. Just as you said, when people give up, that's when you know you're really right on the verge of finding that groove or finding that thing that really makes you and makes you successful. So, you know, although I can't think of one specific piece of advice, I think that people need to be a bit more open-minded and learn to adapt.
Agreed. I agree.
And I think that can be said for things even beyond business as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's applicable in so many ways. I think
yes,
it's, you know, it's interesting because like the youth is the future and the youth is creating these new technologies and these new ways to use technologies. And,
yeah.
You know, funny enough, you end up going to talk to a 50, 60 or 70 year old person about financing or about help. You know what I mean? And they can be, there can be a bit of a like little cynicism, and I'm generalizing. I'm not saying all people are like that. Amount.
But naturally you find it young and old, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's just life.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think that's interesting because the optimists are the ones that will, corner the new market.
Yeah. And I mean, once again, not to throw it back to Disney, but look at Walt Disney.
Hello.
I mean, he identified a problem. He was sitting on a bench watching his kids ride a carousel, and he said there's not enough for everyone to do as a family, and he said if you can dream it, you can do it, and you know, he met a lot of naysayers along the way, and look at Disney now.
Yeah, largest entertainment company in the world.
Yep.
All right, so we are truly wrapping up here. I know I said that a while back.
No problem.
So final question for you, and you might have already answered this. If metaphorically speaking, if you could put a word or a phrase on a billboard for millions of people to see, does anything come to mind?
In regards to just general life, in regards to Harmony Helper.
Hey, if you've got three different answers, we can have three different billboards. It's really whatever, you know, whatever theme has stuck with you, maybe the strongest through this conversation. I know there were some like incredible quotes you mentioned. It can be a story, a word, a phrase, a quote.
I mean, I think a really, there's a lot of ways I think I could answer that. But I think they're all very similar as well to the general theme of one thing that I sort of wake up every morning and chant to myself is that quote of expect nothing, be grateful for everything, and you'll never have a bad day in your life. Just that theme of keep pushing forward, keep moving forward. Everything sort of that speaks to that is really what I would want to put on that billboard and for people to see every day.
Expect nothing, be grateful for everything. You'll never have a bad day in your life. I love that.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, hey, Andrew, this has been fun. Thank you for chatting with me.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up, where we can find you, where we can find the app, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. So we are on social media, Harmony Helpers, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can download that demo preview version of the app on the Apple App Store and Android, Google Play Store. It's called Harmony Helper. Our website is harmonyhelper.com. You can find more information there, and we'll be posting more information about how to get involved with the beta there as well. And really, our true vision here at Harmony Helper is to truly create a 24/7 digital rehearsal room in someone's back pocket and provide, give control to someone, no matter what your, no matter where you're located, how much time you have, how much money you have. The goal is to have Harmony Helper there for you and truly be a singer's best friend. And that's truly the mission.
Wow. I mean, it's great. You've really created something brand new, and that's absolutely incredible.
Thank you. That really means a lot.
Well, hey, thank you very much for taking this time to chat with me.
I'm excited.
I'm excited to continue to see what you create and what's next. I'm sure the floodgates are opening as we speak of the possibilities. Once you give yourself the permission, it's an incredible thing.
Thank you so much.
Very good, man. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Andrew Gorin.
You've been listening to Entertainment X, the podcast. You can follow Entertainment X on Instagram at @_EntertainmentX_. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join Clay next week for another Curiosity Conversation on Entertainment X. Thank you for listening.